In our last three segments, we talked about the new innovative features and functionality of Shift. It's the global money app that's powered by Standard Bank, and this incredible digital portal allows you to buy, send, and spend from wherever you are in the world. Shift also offers Forex, investments, and international payments from anyone, anywhere, no matter where they bank. Now, our first episode was a rather fascinating introduction to all of those features. We unpacked the amazing Forex capabilities in the second episode, and then moved on to buying and selling shares in our third episode. Well, today we just take a step back and we reflect on the technological ecosystem, as it's become known, that has really birthed this amazing platform and is transforming Africa into a hub for this kind of innovation. And we're joined by Head of Strategic Investments and Alliances at Standard Bank Group, Larry McCarthy. Larry, welcome to the show. And I know this is a topic very close to your heart. I'd just like to start off with a brief description of the current state of technological innovation in Africa and what's driving it. From your vantage point, there does feel like there's been a sea change over the last 12 months in particular. How healthy is the tech industry across the continent in terms of growth and development?
Michael, thank you, and thank you for the opportunity, and also to your listeners. Look, there are a number of factors that are driving it. We've seen, as you put it, a sea change in attention towards the continent, both local funds and international funds. The growth of investments, sort of going back 2015 to end of 2021, has grown from a couple of $100 million to, depending on which report you read, north of $5 billion, which is a seismic shift. And in and amongst that, some larger deals, but also a lot of the smaller opportunities. So massive growth and attention on that. Last year, almost 600 deals that were done, which is unprecedented, but really, I think, a sign of the times to come. So I think it is healthy, to answer the question. And I think what's driving it is some really good quality entrepreneurs and companies coming out that are able to demonstrate real growth opportunity, and probably touch on it a bit later, but apart from the financial return, quite a profound social impact as well.
And, well, but that's, for me, what makes Africa this melting pot, this sort of petri dish for innovation. We've got this deep social need across the continent, and you're marrying that with this transformational convergence of different technologies. It's not just the mobile phone. It's the fact that we've now got cloud compute, we've got blockchain, we've got all of these things coming together at almost just the right time to help. And we often hear about this word leapfrog Africa's development, but that is exactly what we're seeing happen in so many different sectors. What would you say is driving this phenomenal growth that we're seeing?
So look, I think the one thing you touched on is mobile. It definitely is the primary communication tool today, and it's definitely opened up a lot more opportunity to connect people and to provide different types of services and solutions to them. A number of different sectors that are able to benefit from the local technology, you know, development in the fintech space, insurtech is growing phenomenally, agritech, also health tech. I mean, those are just really a few of them, but what we're seeing is a growth of these different opportunities across multiple sectors. And I think what's very important to this point is that local entrepreneurs really understand the markets they operate in, and they can access the technology, as you put it, the mobile, the cloud, etc., different training applications and skills development. And what we're finding, which is often the source of invention, is they are solving challenges that either they themselves or somebody close relative, or their communities are battling with. So, you know, all of this contributes to that development.
Yeah, localized problems and challenges that they're solving with tech that is relevant for those communities that experience those challenges. It's not like you're importing solutions from developed markets where there isn't quite that product market fit. And chatting to a lot of VCs in the space, I mean, I was chatting to Kiert van Zyl not too long ago, and he kind of laughed with me and he said, you know, Michael, we look back 10, 15 years ago, the VC ecosystem in South Africa, well, it was a couple of guys outside the Breda Valley, and we had just left Mark Shuttleworth here, Dragons. You could probably count us on one hand. And now there is this thriving ecosystem. And what we've also demonstrated is how you can build a business and you can exit. And I think the exits have also been a key in terms of demonstrating the proof of concept, so to speak, when it comes to VC. You know, can you exit successfully? When it comes to the entrepreneur, though, how well equipped are these entrepreneurs in Africa to establish and drive world-class technology firms? Because one almost thinks that there is potentially some hand-holding that's still needed here. And how does Standard Bank see its role here? How do you equip these entrepreneurs for success?
So, Michael, that I think is a fundamental question. The short answer to the level of infrastructure and support that entrepreneurs get in South Africa and across the continent, short answer is not enough.
Yeah.
You know, I think what's important is that this isn't just about a cash issue. I think it's very important that entrepreneurs are given support around, and it's not just sort of rolling a mentor in once a month. It's having people working with them on an ongoing basis to polish their solutions, you know, to help them think about the business as it goes through the different growth phases. So this is very much a combination of cash as well as deep involvement and, you know, really caring and having an interest in their opportunities. And with that support and that's financial and mentoring and skills development and expansion, you know, really the sky's the limit. Standard Bank is doing a lot of that. We do it directly in Standard Bank. We've also launched an incubator and accelerator program called Founders Factory Africa, which is South Africa, but also across the continent. And what's vital about these programs, both in the bank and in Founders Factory Africa, is that we've, in a very disciplined way, apply a combination of cash investment and at the same time, ongoing involvement at a skills development level.
And it's very much from what I hear, even though you're a bank, you're offering an almost private equity VC type approach, which, yes, it's about funding. We know entrepreneurs need access to capital, but they need access to so much more than that. They need access to new markets, to the kind of know-how that comes from helping businesses scale and grow. And that's something that the bank has done that sort of repeatedly. You've got the formula for it. It's in the DNA now. How much of that goes into the way you've thought about the way you approach this, Larry?
It's a principal part of it. It's a crucial part of it. And I think importantly, we, you know, you mentioned the word private equity. The way we prefer to look at it is that we are helping growth, economic growth on the continent, but we're also, if I can use the terminology, strategic investors. In other words, we want that 1 and 1 is 3 with the fintech and ourselves, because they've got the ideas and the agility. We've got an audience out there. We've got consumers. We've got different business sizes. And so their opportunity to work with us to grow through the different countries that we operate in, I think, gives them that advantage. So it's a 1 and 1 is 3, meaning we need the product, we need their agility, we need their innovation, and they benefit from the role that we can play in helping them to grow their businesses. So it's very mutually beneficial, as opposed to sort of putting in private equity and hoping in 5 years' time we'll get an IPO.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a big differentiator in the model. So give me some examples of how you've taken this model to invest in tech startups in this kind of mutually beneficial manner, and how exactly you go about investing in these startups.
As I may have mentioned on one of our former chats, you know, this is a subject close to my heart, and I could talk about all of our companies for hours each, but I won't because I'm mindful of the time. But we've invested in directly in about 30 companies, and through our Founders Factory Africa model, another further 37. And in those, they cover 8 countries and cover 3 verticals, fintech, health tech, and agritech. Some of the practical examples that the listeners may be aware of, Firepay is a company we invested in that launched the SnapScan model, which allows customers and merchants to engage with one another for payments. We've got a very popular product now called BizFlex, which is a end-to-end digital SME lending solution, which we've launched with one of our partners, Merchant Capital. It's relatively early days, but we've grown that book to over R1 billion in new loans and growing. And we've got a wonderful insurtech product called MobiLife that we work with, which runs part of our Flexi Funeral product. We're now at over 1 million policies and growing. We're in the early stages of a company called Tesserae that the public may not yet be aware of, but that's really to support the gig economy and to provide data labeling solutions for large corporates, but allows people to earn some extra money with mobile devices. And I think, you know, these are just a few. As I said, the list goes on and we absolutely go on and on, and we really enjoy them. So how, just on your second question, how do we go about investing in these companies? We spend a lot of time and effort scouting, both in South Africa and around the continent. We're looking for entrepreneurs with that energy and eagerness and can do but need to learn type of mindset. We think all of those are very important ingredients. And importantly, they're solving real customer needs. So we scout for those.
Yeah.
And then depending on their stage of development, we may look for a direct investment. We may think that in this particular case, the Founders Factory model, in terms of putting them through an accelerator program, might be beneficial to them. And then from there, looking to work with these companies directly, expand them across our countries. And importantly, we sit on, in many cases, we sit on their boards. We actively participate in their strategic planning, share the different experiences that we've had across the portfolio. We introduce the companies to one another so that if they're able to work together and benefit from one another's developments, they can do that.
Yeah, I mean, that is so powerful in terms of helping these businesses with proven solutions, proven technical solutions to scale. And, you know, you mentioned earlier that you've invested in merchant capital. And to me, I find that so interesting because you're a banker investing effectively in an alternative lender, which is something of a competitor, but is doing things that are innovative in the digital SME lending space. So as a bank, you're saying, right, we're willing to learn how these alternative lenders are doing it and partner with them. So, and I think that explodes a bit of the myth that is out there that banks are kind of stiff, grey-shoed, big behemoths. They can't move and adapt. And, you know, I've had the CEO, Dov Gernon, on the show several times in the past. It's really fantastic to see, you know, how this new spirit of collaboration is evolving, Larry. Just as a last question, I mean, you've been involved for several years now in the ecosystem. What does the future hold for the African tech industry and platforms in particular?
Michael, I think the opportunity is enormous. I think that we have got an abundance of very capable entrepreneurs out there. I can't stress this enough. We see so much talent. It's about creating a support environment for them. It's about giving them the right kind of distribution opportunities, the funding, the skills, and the mentorship. And I really think that, you know, given the right amount of time and effort, and it's not really just from Standard Bank, it's from all corporates and all parties that wish to participate in this, we know that there are very capable people out there that can grow businesses and solve real solutions. We just have to give them the opportunity to do that. And then I think we can, as a country and as a continent, I think we can show up on the global stage very proudly.
Well, I think that is a great message. We've got some good news on the show today, following on from that S&P news earlier that we were chatting about late on Friday. S&P upgrading its outlook, and VC investing in Africa's tech startups is certainly the other really good news story in markets at the moment. Thank you very much, Larry McCarthy, Head of Strategic Investments and Alliances at Standard Bank Group, talking about how the bank is approaching this in a far more collaborative way than we've certainly seen in the past. You're listening to Hot Business.